Blog Talk Radio.
From another mother. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is G Money back on the Buffalo Water Cooler Radio Show. It is the debut show of Monday Night Quarterback with your host, that is me, G Money, here on the Buffalo Water Cooler Show, part of TW Sports Media. What is up, Buffalo sports fans all over the country and in Western New York? It is Monday, September 14th, 2015, right after a very big statement game, opening up the nation's eyes to the Buffalo Bills. That's right. The Buffalo Bills beat the Indianapolis Colts yesterday 27-14 behind a very, very impressive game by first-time starter Tyrod Taylor. Let's go over his numbers here real quick. 14 of 19, 195 yards, and he had 41 yards rushing, which did include a 31-yard scamper, which was very impressive as well. The Bills held Andrew Luck under 250 yards passing, which is impressive. And they have been in the last season, or going along with last season, coming into this season, have been doing a very decent job at keeping top-flight quarterbacks at bay. But not only do we have a lot to talk about, we have a lot to catch up with. Did you guys miss me? I know I missed you. We've been gone a while, but like the Godfather said last night, we are ready to go. It's football season. Hallelujah. The heavens have parted, and the sun has shone on Buffalo. We got Rex Ryan on the Bills. We got our man, Tyrod Taylor. We got LeSean Machady McCoy. We got Percy Harvin. We got so many weapons. Sammy Watkins. This team is ready to go. This team is raring and ready to take on the AFC this year. So my question for you is, are they for real? That's the first question. Are they for real? Are they the team that we all thought that they were going to be in the offseason? Do they have what it takes to contend in the AFC? Not just, and I'm not talking about division. I'm talking about the whole AFC. Because we saw a couple things yesterday, especially in the Denver Ravens game, the Broncos Ravens game. Peyton Manning, not really great. He did okay. Yeah, it was the first game. Granted, first game, everybody, there's knee-jerk reactions everywhere about the first game in the NFL for every team. Teams that did well, teams that didn't do well, this and that. And let's not forget, too, that the New England Patriots started 0-2 last year and ended up cheating, winning the Super Bowl. I slipped in my throat there. Sorry, guys. Let's go over the scores real quick before we get into that. All the action from Thursday and yesterday. We do have a few games going on right now. Very early in the second half, we have the Falcons up 10-0 on the Eagles, and the Niners and Vikings are slated to play at 10:15. That is at the 49ers. 10 to nothing Falcons over the Eagles. I mean, the Falcons have a high-powered offense, but, you know, the Eagles were supposed to have one as well. Maybe the Falcons' defense got a little bit better than we thought they were. But games from Thursday, excuse me, Patriots 28, Steelers 21. Now, in that game, Patriots' defense did not look good at all. I didn't think they looked great. Steelers threw the ball all over them. As a matter of fact, Ben Roethlisberger was 26 of 38 for 351 yards and a touchdown. Brady did throw four touchdowns, 288, 25 of 32, three of those to Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, one of those to our old friend Scott Chandler. Packers over the Bears, 31-23. The Bears gave them an early scare in the first half, but the Packers do what the Packers do and score a lot of points, and they pulled away in the second half. Chiefs, this is kind of a shocker to me. Chiefs 27, Texans 20. Texans did give them a game in the second half, but the Chiefs really took it to them in the first half, especially that Texans defense. They exploited a lot of weaknesses in the middle of the field, which was very interesting. Jets-Browns, Jets blew them out 31-10. The Browns are horrible. They are a dumpster fire, and the Jets are who they are. We got Fitzpatrick at quarterback and a very good defense there in New York. Dolphins squeaked past the Washington Redskins 17-10. Very interesting there. Ndamukong Suh kicking another guy in the head. The Dolphins defense, you know, holding the Redskins to 10 points, but we would have thought that the Dolphins would have scored a little bit more points against the Redskins defense, which many experts thought weren't very good. Panthers 20, Jaguars 9, kind of go the way we thought it was going to go. The Jaguars are not very good. Rams 34, Seahawks 31 in overtime. Rams defense is good. They are a good defense. Forced Russell Wilson into a lot of bad mistakes, a few sacks, he threw a pick. Very good D there in the Rams. And with Nick Foles at quarterback, looks like they got something there. I know it's only week one, but time will tell. Cardinals-Saints. Cardinals beat the Saints 31-19. Carson Palmer was very, very sharp in his first game back after, you know, injuring himself with his knee last year. He was 19-32, 307 yards and three touchdowns. Not to be outdone by Drew Brees, pretty much even there. 30 of 48. He attempted 48 passes, Drew Brees did. 355 yards. That's the thing, though, with the Saints offense. You can really target Drew Brees and kind of shut down that run game. And Drew Brees will try to beat you with his arm, and obviously he couldn't yesterday because the Cardinals have a pretty good defense over there in Arizona as well. We had the Chargers 33, Lions 28. Looked like the Lions were going to pull away with this game in the beginning of the second half, but the Chargers really got a late fury there in the fourth quarter and came away with the win there. That was very impressive. Phillip Rivers, Stevie Johnson is on that team now. Keenan Allen got 15 receptions. Very impressive by the Chargers. Titans 42, Buccaneers 14. This was the matchup of the two top picks in this past draft, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Winston, his very first pass was a pick six. He went 6 of 33, 210 yards, two TDs, two INTs. Marcus Mariota does what Mariota does best. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Didn't throw a lot of passes. Was 13 of 16, 209 yards, but he did throw four touchdowns. The Bengals, 33. The lowly Raiders, 13. And we did see that Raiders quarterback Carr went out with some sort of hand injury. We really don't know what that is yet. There's really nothing coming out of Oakland as far as that. It looks like Carr is going to be a no-go for next week. Broncos 19, Ravens 13 in a defensive struggle. I think what Baltimore and Denver both showed in that game is they both have very, very good defenses. And what Peyton Manning also showed was is he isn't really that back to par. He was 24 of 40, only 175 yards and a pick. Joe Flacco wasn't that good either, 18 of 32, 117, two interceptions. It was pretty much special teams or field goals for that game. I mean, if you like a defensive struggle, that's the kind of game you want to watch. We had Sunday Night Football last night. Cowboys just nudged the Giants 27-26 on a last-minute touchdown pass by Tony Romo. He played a fantastic game, 36 of 45, 356, three touchdowns, two interceptions. Eli Manning, on the other hand, 20 of 36, 193. Pretty much goes the way those two are going to go for the rest of the season. I think the Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles are going to be fighting for that division. I think the Cowboys taking it, Eagles second, Giants third, and the Redskins a distant fourth. And as we said right now, the Eagles just kicked a field goal, so it is 10-3 with 7:18 left in the second quarter. So, the Bills, 27, Colts 14. And if you guys want to call in, the call-in number is 646-915-9969. Once again, that's 646-915-9969 to call in and talk with me, your host, G Money. Guys, let me tell you something right now. It was a statement game by the Bills. That was a very impressive. Hold on 1 second. Somebody's texting me. Sorry about that, guys. I can't multitask, obviously. A lot of facets of that game impressed me by the Bills. And we can talk about this in depth, obviously. But from the defense to Tyrod Taylor, everything looked fantastic in that game. Well, I don't want to go fantastic, a little overstating it, but Carlos Williams, 6 carries, 55 yards, 1 touchdown, that big run there. Percy Harvin, 7 catches, 79 yards, 1 TD, was a big factor in the game. Hit that 51-yard touchdown grab from Tyrod Taylor in the first quarter. That was huge. They exploited a weakness there. Booby Dixon had a 1-yard TD run at the beginning of the third quarter, which was very, very impressive. At the end of the second quarter, like I said, Carlos Williams, 26-yard run. That's what put him up 17-0 going into the half. And then they come right down, beginning of the third quarter, drive right down. Very impressive drive. Booby Dixon dives in for a 1-yard score, 24-0. And at that point, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you're thinking, holy cow, we're going 44 minutes without scoring. This crowd is insane. Let's talk about that, by the way, in a second, because that crowd was nuts. And from the players all the way to Rex Ryan to the players on both sides, excuse me, they said that they have never heard a crowd that loud. So tip your cap to the fans who were there yesterday at the Ralph. And let's see what Seattle can do about that, because, you know, Seattle always says that they're always the loudest, blah, blah, this and that. Nah, 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 nah. Where the Buffalo Bills invented the 12th man. You just adopted it. So a lot of good things yesterday. A lot of good things. The Bills defense is who we thought they were, to quote the aforementioned Vikings coach who was playing the Bears. Can't think of his name. Bills defense played great. Even without Marcell Dareus. Bills defense played great without Marcell Dareus in the lineup. So you got the New England Patriots coming up here next week. You got Dareus in the lineup. Good luck. Good luck there. I mean, it's gonna be all Tom Brady, pretty much. Luck had his moments. And let's not forget, this is only week one. But Luck had his moments. 2 TDs, yeah, 243 yards, but he attempted 50 passes almost. And they kept him running. They kept hitting him. I mean, it was a really something else by the Bills defense. They really showed that they are here to play, and they are here to show the AFC, like Rex Ryan said, not going to bow down to anybody. We're going to show, first and foremost, that we are here to play, and we are here to show the AFC and all of the NFL that the Bills and the city of Buffalo are for real. And they showed that Sunday. They showed that yesterday. So, like I said, guys, give me a call, 646-915-9969. I just want to thank our two sponsors. We got Coca-Cola and Paula's Donuts. Thank you so much, guys. You've been with us for years now, and we really appreciate your sponsorship and you helping the Buffalo Water cool out and Trenton White Sports Media from inception, pretty much. From inception, from the beginning. It was fantastic for you guys to step up and, you know, you know, be hand in hand with us, you know, helping us out as partners, and it's going to be a great partnership going forward, and it's just going to grow from there. Me and the Godfather really appreciate everything that you have done for us. So 646-915-9969 to speak with me, G Money, here on Monday Night Quarterback. And there's always a lot of knee-jerk reactions when the Bills play well like this too, because they beat the Bears last year in week one, and you know everybody was sky high. Everybody thought that the Bears were going to be great. They ended up being 6-10, you know, and at the end of the season last year, Bills wind up 9-7, their best finish in over 10 years, but still, it was a step in the right direction, but still not getting where we wanted them to get. And with all the off-season acquisitions the Bills have made, including Rex Ryan, Percy Harvin, LeSean McCoy, Charles Clay, going on and on and on and on, Richie Incognito, you know, just to name a few, this team has a lot of expectations, very high expectations, and they put that on themselves. They made these moves. They made these big signings, and you know, we're ready to go. I mean, this team has been hyped up since beginning of March, maybe sooner, when they signed Rex Ryan, and we are just ready to go, and we are ready for some great football this season from the Bills. And it started with that 27-24 victory over the Colts. They thoroughly dominated the Indianapolis Colts. And even when the Colts drove down in the third quarter, it was almost a 9.5-minute drive. It was so slow. It was methodical. The Bills did not give an inch. As soon as one of the skill players had the ball, one of the Bills were right there to smack him in the mouth and tackle him, not giving him any more space to move. So that on that drive, the Colts had to earn it, and they did. I mean, let's get something straight here. The Bills' defense is going to give up points, but to do it that way, to grind it out and make the offense earn those points instead of just giving up a big play, that is also very impressive to me. That is excellent job by the Bills defense. They pressured Luck all day, hit him, knocked him down, made him uncomfortable. And I'm also sure that I know for a fact that the crowd made Luck and the offense uncomfortable. You could see guys walking around, trying standing up, can't hear, this and that, a lot of hand signals. So, you know, great job by the fans. You know, you guys deserve a lot of credit. So, I mean, 12th man, baby, 12th man. I mean, you guys are where it starts, you know, and the Rex Ryan will say that, the team will say that. It's great job. Great job by everybody. But the team on the field is why the fans were so loud, why the fans were going nuts, because of the hype, you know, started since the Fagulas bought the team, you know, bringing in Tyrod Taylor. Him winning the job, his athleticism, his diversity at the position, and he's not just a running quarterback, and he showed us that yesterday. He also showed us that through the preseason. I mean, he had some issues in his first preseason game, but you could tell there was development there, game after game after game, even through training camp. You could see him grow. You could see him develop. You could see him, you know, understand it and starting to learn and starting to, you know, get what the coaches are telling him. And he sat behind Flacco for 4 years in Baltimore, got to sit there and learn and watch and study and work on his craft and not be thrown right into the fire like E.J. Manuel was, you know? So that's something to say for that. That's why Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he looks cool as the other side of the pillow, as Stuart Scott would say. I mean, the guy is unflappable, and that was just in the first game. Now, let's see when he gets some real pressure on him, but I don't think anything would faze this guy. I mean, he's down to earth. He's even keel. I mean, he's in the pocket. He doesn't have happy feet. I mean, he might have ran once when he should have, like, stayed back and tried to, you know, look for somebody to throw to, but that was once. That was just one time. I'm not going to knock on him for that, so... He did a very good job, 14-19, 195, one TD, no mistakes. He had that one batted ball, but he got right up there and batted it back down to the ground. It was a great job. Great job by the whole team. Tyrod Taylor was impressive. Like, I mean, you gotta admit that. I know I do. And the defense was impressive too, especially missing, you know, Mr. Big Stuff, Darius, for his first, you know, for his one game suspension. But it's okay. I mean, they showed that they can kind of go on without him, which is a good thing. I mean, you know, when guys are out, they're okay, and I'm very very encouraged by that. Let me tell you, very very encouraged. And guys were going down all day. I mean, look at Corey Graham in the first play, gets a knee to the head. That's gotta, I mean, geez. That's gotta hurt, getting kneed in the head, and you could see that guy's, oh my goodness, the look on his face. They zoomed in on Corey Graham. They zoomed in on him, and you could see that during the replay, they zoomed in on his face, and he was just out of it. You could tell he was in La La Land, like that Snickers commercial, I'm Batman. Yeah, I'm sure if you went to the sidelines and you told him to hold up three fingers, he'd hold up 10 and you know, grab a Snickers bar and go put a cape and cowl on. Because he was not at Ralph Wilson Stadium in his mind after he got kneed in the head on that first play. But that's okay. You got Bakari Rambo going in there, you know, picking up the slack. Nickell Roby played great. I mean, everybody, from top to bottom. I mean, this team is so deep. It is so deep, top to bottom, on that defense. And that's what they wanted to do, was build depth for this team. Because something that the Bills haven't had in a very long time is depth at every position. Depth at every position. And if you want to take away, you know, one critique, or I don't want to call it a quote-unquote negative, the line could have blocked a little bit better. As far as running, the running plays, run blocking, but it's first game. From what I understand, is LeSean McCoy was upset at some communication issues that the line had with him and his other line mates for the offensive line. But it's the first game. You got a rookie in there, and at right guard, it's going to come around. The communication is going to come around. He's got to play a week or two, a couple of weeks together. And you'll start to get that chemistry, especially in the offensive line, because it's a lot about communication. It's a lot about knowing where your guy is at all times. You know, kind of like you're in the same house all the time. You know, bunch of sardines in a sardine can, if that makes sense. It's a really horrible analogy, but I really don't care. It's the first one that came to my head. So, you know, a lot of positives. A lot of positives for the Bills yesterday. Huge 27-14 win over the Colts. The Colts, who were picked from a lot of experts, and I say that in quotes, experts, to maybe be the best team in the AFC, if not the second best team in the AFC. But the Colts showed a lot of weaknesses, especially on defense. Lots. I mean, that run defense played well in the first quarter, but they got gassed. You could tell in the beginning of the third quarter, beginning of the second half there, that they were tired. Guys had their hands on their hips. They were sucking wind, and they just did not look ready to play. Is that coaching? I know there's some talk in Indianapolis about some inner struggle between the coach and the owner. The owner doesn't believe that the coach can get them to the next level. I don't know, but that's Indianapolis' problem. Here in Buffalo, we're feeling pretty good. We're 1-0. Going to play the hated Tom Brady and the even more hated New England Patriots. I don't know. Do we hate New England more or do we hate Tom Brady more? I don't really know which is which. And that's another thing I want to know from you guys. You can call me here at 646-915-9969. Not only do you think that they're for real, and do you think if they have what it takes to contend in the AFC this year, not just the AFC East, the AFC, right? Because the Dolphins showed some weaknesses. The Patriots showed weaknesses, especially on defense. Especially that you could see that the Patriots can be exploited over the top. They can be exploited through the air. Their run defense is okay. It's not bad. But because D'Angelo Williams did have a few good runs on them on Thursday, but holy cow, Ben Roethlisberger was throwing it all over him, all over them, rather, on Thursday night. Yes, and he is an all-pro, two-time Super Bowl champion, this and that. Great quarterback, elite quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. But good Lord, Patriots can be exploited over the top through the air. And let's see if the Bills can exploit that weakness. And let's see if the Bills can get some pressure on Tom Brady. Now that we got Darius back, let's see if the Bills can get pressure on Tom freaking Brady. Let's see if that'll happen. Get him upset. Get him off his rhythm. Get him crying and whining on the sidelines, because that's what we want to see. Without a doubt, that's what we want to see. No doubt in my mind. I mean, what'd you like from Carlos Williams yesterday? I think he showed some promise. He's a one-cut runner, one cut, and just runs right downhill, north and south runner. Very different. Good compliment to Shady McCoy, who is a very shifty, slashy kind of runner. Multiple cuts, looking for that hole. Carlos Williams is a different back. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's a downhill runner. He's a tough guy to tackle. And he's going to show us more and more as the season goes on. So is Shady. Once that line gets a little bit better, gets a little bit more chemistry, so let's go. Let's go. So let's see what they can do. It's only up from here, as far as I'm concerned. 15 years of mediocrity and losing and blah, 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 missing the playoffs, whatever. Let's go. Here in Buffalo, here in Western New York, we deserve a winner. We deserve one. We've gone through so much losing. It's time. It's our time. Boston's done. They're done. They've had enough. I don't even want to hear about Boston and the Patriots and the Bruins and the Red Sox and whoever else, the Celtics. You know, the Celtics suck, but you know they're probably on the upswing. But that's neither here nor there. It's our time. It's the Bills' time. Let's go. Why can't we have lofty expectations? The Bills, us Bills fans here in Western New York, we never have. Why can't we? Why can't we? That's what I want to ask you. Why can't we have lofty expectations? And I also want to hear your predictions for next week against the Patriots. A big divisional game. Every game in the division is big, especially against the Patriots. But this one, just so happens, is at home again. Let's go, Bills fans. Let's go, Bills fans at the Ralph on Sunday. I live really close to the stadium. I could hear you guys. Whew. Holy cow. That was incredible, that game yesterday. And to tell you the truth, watching that game, I really wasn't that nervous. I'm not even saying that because they lost. I mean, there was a couple points here or there, you know, that I got a little bite in the nails and whatnot, but it's almost like I knew that they were going to win that game. That's the kind of confidence that Rex Ryan exudes, you know, and it really rubs off not only on the team but on the fans. I mean, how can you not like this guy? He is just full of confidence, full of swagger, full of bravado. And it's nothing but good things. All good things, man. All good things. So give me a call here. Are they for real, the Bills? Do you think they have what it takes to contend in the AFC? Not just the division, the AFC. And what is your prediction for next week against the Patriots? I'll give you mine, but it's going to be a little bit later in the show. Give me a call, 646-915-9969. For those of you who know who I am, you guys can shoot me a text. I'm not going to give you my phone number over the air because that's not responsible. Because, you know, then all the ladies are going to be calling me and texting me, and then my wife's going to be like, what are these girls calling you for? And I'm going to have to explain that. So, I mean, Godfather knows what I'm talking about, Trent. You know. You know what's up. We have a 646-915-9969 to talk with me, G-Money, on the Buffalo Water Coolers debut show, Monday Night Quarterback. We're going to be here on every week following the Bills game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time. Going to love it. No, it's my Uncle Jim just texted me. It's Jake from State Farm. It's not Jake from State Farm, Uncle Jim. And he's from San Diego, and he did text me a picture yesterday of a Bill's Backer Bar. It's the Pacific Beach Ale House in San Diego. Pacific Beach Ale House, the number one place in San Diego for Bills football games. I guess they serve Salen's hot dogs and Labatt Blue. So they're importing Labatt Blue. I say import because they're out of the country, but they're 3,000 miles away. Importing, bringing in Salen's hot dogs from Buffalo and Labatt Blue from Buffalo. Holy crap! Good for you guys in San Diego. I saw this picture too, and I'll put it on Facebook on our site when I'm done with the show here. Really cool picture, and there's had to be a couple hundred people there with all just the entire bar was completely, you know, covered in Bills memorabilia. A bunch of people, you know, bunch of people. I mean, I'm looking at this. Holy crap. There's a lot of people at this bar, Pacific Beach Ale House in San Diego. I don't really know the address. If my uncle could text me the address, if he's listening, definitely can. And I would give you guys the address there for those of you living in Southern California who want to check out the Pacific Ale House, Pacific Beach Ale House. That is awesome stuff. We know that there's lots of Bills fans everywhere you look, or everywhere anywhere you go, there's a Bills fan all over the country. And that's great. It's a community. You got people moving all over the country, and I can't really think of a fan base that has Bills backer bars in most cities. Can anybody else think of another franchise or NFL team? Holy cow. And I guess at this Pacific Beach Ale House in San Diego, they're going to be having Fred Jackson Jersey Day. So they're going to be celebrating one of the more popular players in Bills history. With the team for over 10 years, was cut by the Bills, but, you know, let's go into that. Let's go into that. We'll get to the Bills in a second. But he's 34. You got Shady McCoy on the team. You got Carlos Williams. You got Bryce Brown. You got Booby Dixon. All these guys, different kind of runners. I think Carlos Williams is around the same kind of runner that Fred Jackson is, but he's 10 years younger. And this happens to older players all the time. You know, just looking back to Emmitt Smith, he was cut. Then he signed with the Cardinals. And going to hockey, Wayne Gretzky was traded. You know, it can go on and on and on. I don't have to name lots of players, but, you know, Peyton Manning was cut. There you go. Signs with the Broncos and does great. Joe Montana, he was traded. So it happens to the greats. And I understand that people were very upset because Fred Jackson was entrenched in his community. He still is here. He's not going anywhere. He's still going to be a big part of Buffalo. He loves it here. His kids go to school here. He's not going anywhere. But it comes a time in an athlete's career when they have to move on. And he wasn't in the plans for the Bills. And I will wish him nothing but the best. Because I still think he's got a little bit left in him, but the Bills just were going in a different direction. And it's what you got to think first and foremost is that football and any sport is a business. And you have to run it like a business, and you can't get attached to players. And from the late, great Marv Levy, not the late, great, the late, great coach, he's not dead, but one of his greatest quotes was, if a coach started listening to the fans, he would be very soon. He would be sitting by them, or next to them. So, think about that one. If a coach started listening to the fans, he'd eventually be sitting by them. I mean, being an NFL coach, you're not going to make a lot of friends. being an NFL coach, your number one job is to win football games. It is a business, big money. You got fans buying memorabilia, buying tickets, buying beer, buying hats, buying whatever. You know, parking, that costs money. Tailgating, whooping it up, having a good time. Showing the support like the Bills fans did yesterday at the Ralph. Some of the broadcasters in the broadcast booth said that they felt the booth shaking because it was so loud there. The Bills, for the 1 o'clock game, they had the highest rated game yesterday. It was over like a 42 rating. That's insane. So nothing but good things here. Nothing but good things here in Buffalo. And one more time, guys, 646-915-9969. I gave you my piece on Fred Jackson. He is moving on. He's going to the Seattle Seahawks. You know, great. He's going to be paired with Marshawn Lynch, where he was, you know, when he was in here in Buffalo. Fred and Marshawn spent a couple of years together. But, you know, it's going to be a good tandem there. Good for him. I hope he does well. That's, you know, too bad that they lost their first game. But, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Freddie's going over there, and I'm sure he'll be back here in the offseason. His kids are going to school here. Great. Awesome, Freddie. Good for you. I'm glad you're doing well, and I'm glad you're moving on with your career, and I hope you do well. But we have to focus as Bills fans, we have to focus on the here and now. We need to focus on our team. We need to focus on, you know, the coaches, Rex Ryan, Greg Roman, Dennis Thurman, and what they can do. And they showed us what they could do yesterday. And let's talk about Tyrod Taylor real quick. What impressed me the most about him yesterday was his ability to look down the field when he gets out of the pocket. He's not a run-first quarterback, like I said earlier in the show. He was looking to throw the ball before he ran it. There was only one instance where he actually got happy feet just once because the guy was in his face. He darted out to the right and got a couple of yards, saved himself a sack. But he really, really showed that he is a pass-first quarterback. He's going to look to throw the ball first. And that is absolutely fantastic as far as I'm concerned. He's looking down. Had some good throws. Only one bad throw I could see when he threw behind and really low to Clay, but Clay got it. It was on when they thought Clay fumbled the ball. Charles Clay, that is. But, you know, he made something out of nothing there. I think if he would have led Clay a little bit more, it would be a huge gain, maybe possibly even a score. But, you know, plays like that are going to come. No quarterback is perfect through the entire game. They're human. Even Aaron Rodgers, who throws the ball, probably got the best ball in the entire league. He's beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful mechanics on Aaron Rodgers. He's fantastic. But, you know, he's not perfect all the time. He throws interceptions. You know, Tyrod Taylor is going to make some mistakes too, and that's something about him. It's let's see what he can do when he makes a big mistake, when he misses a coverage, when he throws behind a receiver, throws an interception, overthrows the guy, gets picked. Maybe if he gets a pick six taken back, that might happen too. Let's be real, sports fans. Let's be real, Bills fans. It could happen. It's not a rare thing to pick six in the NFL nowadays. And the other thing we got to talk about too with Tyrod Taylor, the Godfather mentioned yesterday, Trent mentioned, is Taylor's got to be careful when he gets out of the pocket with running quarterbacks. We saw it with RG3, his injuries. We've seen it in the past with other running quarterbacks. Luckily, you know, guys like Russell Wilson and Kaepernick, Kaepernick's more of a run-first quarterback, but Russell Wilson's more of a pass-first quarterback. I mean, they've kind of escaped major injury, but RG3 hasn't. And he made a living running the ball. And hopefully Tyrod Taylor can keep away from that, you know, keep himself healthy. I mean, we want to see him make plays, but we don't want to see him be reckless. But it's definitely a good sign that he's looking to throw it first. And let me tell you something. For those of you who didn't think that he had a good arm, that 51-yard bomb to Percy Harvin in the first quarter should make you think differently, because that looked effortless. Effortless. It was just a flick of the wrist right from the elbow, and it went 50 yards in the air. Makes you think how much further he can throw it. Is that his limit? Don't really want to try it, but you know what? He saw a mismatch. Coordinator saw a mismatch. Said, let's try this play. Because apparently it wasn't really in the game plan from what Rex Ryan was saying earlier today on the radio show in Buffalo. But, you know what? They saw a mismatch. They exploited it. Percy Harvin came down with a great catch. Perfect throw by Tyrod Taylor. Harvin had just a step on him. Just dropped it right in the basket, right between the numbers. Like he was holding the basket. It was like right there. Beautiful pass. And that crowd went insane. When Carlos Williams ran for that, 26-yard touchdown, that crowd went nuts. That drive in the third quarter, all the way down, Booby Dixon scoring the touchdown, crowd went insane. That crowd did not sit down the entire game. I can just imagine what it's going to be like this coming Sunday against the Patriots. Holy cow. It's going to be a madhouse. Because you know what? That crowd and that team, they want Tom Brady. They want the Patriots. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And right now, they're the defending champions. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. Easy for me to say. Even though this whole Deflategate stuff and the radio headset stuff with the Steelers on Thursday, blah, 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 all the cheating you can say, they're still the champs. And they will be the champs until someone knocks them off. Like I said, you want to be the best, you beat the best. And Rex Ryan said today on a radio show, he said, we want them. We want to play them. We're going to give them our best, and if they want to beat us, they're going to have to earn it. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not exactly quoting him. And he said, you know what? If they beat us and we give them our best, hats off to them. But you know what? We're not going to make it easy on them. And why would you? For years and years and years, we have just been pre-programmed. It's like, all right, Patriots, there's two losses on the schedule. Move on. Let's see if we can win other games. Now Rex Ryan comes in with his swagger, his bravado, his cockiness, which is fine. I know we hated it when he was on the Jets, but he's our guy now. He's like, I hate him. I respect the Patriots, but I don't like him. It's like I'm here to beat him. They want to come at me. They're gonna get our best, and they're gonna have to earn their wins. And you gotta like everything you hear out of him. Got about a half hour here left, guys, on the show. 646-915-9969. If you want to join me, G Money, here on the debut show of Monday Night Quarterback here on the Buffalo Water Cooler. Oh, let me tell you, Ronald Darby, rookie corner, looked very impressive. And you know what? It's all about Rex Ryan and that team throwing him to the wolves. Throwing him to the wolves in the preseason. And saying, you're taking on the best guy out there? Let's go. Let's go. And let's see what you can do. And he was just phenomenal yesterday. Interception, lots of defense passes. He's fast. He was keeping up with T.Y. Hilton a couple of times. Holy cow, this kid could be special with his wheels, with his speed, and his ability to go after the ball in the air. He's got a lot of ball skills, that kid, as they say in the business. Stephon Gilmore had a very quiet, good game. The Bills had 12 total pass defenses, if that's how you want to say it. And he had four of them, and they were solo pass defenses. Everybody knocks on him because he doesn't make the big play, the big interception. But you know what he does do? With his physicality, his size, and his strength, he shuts down the other team's number one guy. You don't hear a lot of their other number one guy when he's on him. He doesn't have interceptions. they're good. They're nice. They're a luxury. But if you can shut down the other guy's number one guy, that's what you ask for. Well, that's actually what you ask for from a number one shutdown corner. And that's another thing with Rex Ryan and Thurman's scheme as far as their defensive philosophy. They had Revis in New York. They had a shutdown guy. They had a guy in his own island. And that's what they're doing with Stephon Gilmore, putting him on their island, one-on-one man coverage with the cornerbacks, especially with Darby and Gilmore, and just tell the defensive line and his edge rushers, pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. I mean, it seemed like Rex Ryan, they were calling up, and Dennis Thurman, they were calling up a blitz every other play. But it only seems like that because they got so many guys moving around, so many guys moving in and out, so many guys standing up, down. They got a guy one hand on the ground, two hands. They got a guy standing up. They got linebackers standing up, getting down the line, getting their hands down. Just they completely confused the Colts yesterday. And it wasn't just the crowd. I mean, the crowd had a lot to do with it. But holy cow. I mean, they were throwing everything at the Colts. Everything. To confuse Andrew Luck. And so they were disguising their blitzes. So he didn't know where to put the protection. And they got to him. They knocked him around. They knocked him down. Sacked him. You know, put him into bad situations. And then gave Darby and gave Stephon Gilmore that opportunity to make plays on the ball like Darby did with that underthrown ball that he made the interception on. Great play. It was underthrown, but you know what? He went up. He recognized the ball flight. He recognized where the ball was in the air. He went up and went after it. That's what you want to see from a guy with the athleticism that that Darby has, you know. You gotta love that from a kid like that. And there's nowhere to go but up from him because he showed his growing pains in the preseason. He made some mistakes. He had some penalties, but the type of penalties that he has, you know, that he was, you know, giving, or the infractions that he was getting called on him in the preseason. Even Rex Ryan said that earlier today. He'll take those all day long, as long as he's not giving up a big play. And that's another thing about cornerbacks, especially Stephon Gilmore and Darby, I think, has the same deal. Cornerbacks, you have to have a very short memory, because with a cornerback, one of the toughest positions to learn in the NFL, you're going to get beat. You're going to. It is a absolute fact. Every cornerback gets beat. I don't care how good you are. Everyone does. And if you get beat, you know what? You get right back up. You get right back out there. Get up on the bike and go. And go again. And make a play. Don't get down on yourself because you can't. Because if you get down on yourself, you know what? You're going to get beat again. And then you're going to be down two scores. I think Darby has that mentality. Stephon Gilmore has already showed that he has that mentality. And you got two staple bookend corners right there. And where does that leave Leotis McKelvin? Does he become a nickel guy? Does he become a dime guy? Does he get his job back? All depends on how Darby plays. Darby played good yesterday. So we'll see. Defense has got a lot of places to go, and I think the only place to go is up, especially with Darius coming back. All right, guys, we got about a half hour left in the show here. 646-915-9969, Buffalo Water Cooler's debut show of Monday Night Quarterback with me, your man G Money, is the host. We're going to be doing this every week following a Bills, Monday night, rather, following a Bills game. Unless the Bills are playing on Monday, which they will be this year against the Patriots. Well, we're going to have it on Tuesday night. So we got a caller in here to the Buffalo Water Cooler. One of our residents, sports analysts. We got Slapshot Rob here on the Buffalo Water Cooler. Just waiting for the call to load here. Rob, what's happening, man?
Hey, how you doing tonight, man?
Not too bad, brother. Big win for the Bills yesterday. I think it was a statement win, 27-14. You were there. What was the crowd like?
Unreal. I can only really compare it to some of those early 90s crowds where you knew that it was going to be a difference in the game was the crowd. It's one of the first times in a while I can remember the crowd actually turning parts of the game.
And I think definitely Luck in his post-game press conference did mention that the crowd was so loud that even some of the hand signals really weren't working, because he literally had to go and walk up and down the line and shout in guys' ears because they couldn't hear him. And that just seemed what it was like. They were so disoriented. Guys were walking around, didn't know where they were going. And they were playing right into the hands of the Bills' defense, who were just eating up that line all day.
Yeah, and it was one of the first times I've ever seen a quarterback get everything set and then pull everyone back into a huddle. Because that was about, I want to say, when they were down in that goal situation. They had everyone out there. They were about lined up. He looked like he wanted to make a change in the play, and then all of a sudden he waves them back in, and they all huddled back up. I've never seen him break a huddle and then go back into a huddle.
That's hilarious.
And then there was a couple moments like the left guard. He was the one who had a rough day, it looked like. Because there was a couple times where I watched him go, and the one play I remember, and it was one where I want to say it was the one where they called a timeout because they couldn't get the playoff, where he walks up, stands in his spot. He doesn't get down into the position. He turns and looks at Luck like, what am I supposed to do? Turns around. I think he goes to ask one of the other guys in the line. He still turns back. He points. I think they had like 3 seconds left to get the playoff. And I want to say that was the time that they actually took a timeout to do it. But, like, there were times their line looked lost. Their line had no way of blocking. Hughes was the one I watched. Like, he was going by guys like they weren't even there.
Mm-hmm.
And he never got to Luck, but you saw it got to the point where the only success they were having was two-step pass. Like, he was going 1-2 pass, 1-2 pass right out to a quick timing route. And the thing is, if you force those, it works for a little bit, and then they started playing a jam on the line, and it stopped working even for those.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a back-and-forth adjustment, but they had to fight for everything. And that was, I think, the biggest thing. You didn't give them any two-minute drives for scores.
Well, exactly. And that's what I was saying earlier in the show here is, you know, the Bills' defense, we know they're going to be great, but they're going to give up points. Every defense does. But especially a real good indication was that third-quarter drive by the Colts, which was over a nine-minute drive. Like you were saying, the Colts had to fight and claw for every inch to get to the end zone. And that's what you want to see. I mean, if the other team's going to score, just chew up the clock. If you're ahead by 24 points, just let them eat it up. And it just looked to me when I was watching that TV, every single time that one of their players, one of the receivers, running backs, tight end, whoever it was, got the ball, there was a Bill right on them there, smacking them in the mouth, not letting them get any further. And it just goes to the athleticism and the timing and the speed of this defense. It's just unreal. We've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when the NFL puts out the All-22 tomorrow so I can take a look at some of those matchups, because that's what I'm really looking forward to is some of the linebacker play, because I think that ended up getting overlooked. Because Bradham, it looked, whenever you got it, he was just flying to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That dude is fast, and I think he's going to have a career year. He could be, if he plays like he did yesterday, you could see him getting maybe into the Pro Bowl or an All-Pro or something like that, because he was unbelievable in that game. Those linebackers are by far, I think, the most overlooked part in that defense.
And that's crazy, because I don't understand why, because every single one of those guys is big, athletic, and fast. I just don't get it. And you know what? The NFL and every team can overlook them as much as they want, and that's fine with me, because they're going to keep making plays on everybody. And not just the linebackers who you saw. One player I saw who was absolutely two players. I'm going to go on one real quick. Nickell Robey was all over the field when he was in there. I thought he played absolutely great yesterday. And Aaron Williams, I think he's going to take another step forward, because you really noticed number 23 – every time there was a ball in the backfield. I mean, what are your thoughts on those two guys?
Those two guys, yeah. Williams was one I noticed, because there was the first drive that he made a diving play at an interception and was almost right there. I can only think of two times in that game where it felt like they really messed up a play. And that one of them was on that first drive, Indy was moving a little bit. They hit a real long pass down the middle because they left the middle of the field just empty. And I'm pretty sure that was a miscommunication, but it got called back on a hold.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there, I think, was about the only time I felt like, oh, they're going to hit a big play on that. But, yeah, Williams was a good job because he had to have an even bigger role once Graham went down on the first play. Rambo came in, didn't really miss a beat with him. He left for a while. Darby was even out for a little while, and Brody was playing even more at that point. But, yeah, you didn't notice anyone being a liability. Everyone gave up something. You're not gonna hold a team to negative yards. I mean, especially not a team that has arguably probably the best quarterback on an ascension. I mean, if you look at it, Luck's probably still a year or two from being the top guy in the league, but he's definitely going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that team they couldn't do anything. Only once in the game did they get a three and out. And I'm sure that's something you would say, like, every drive got a first down. But, it's not that big a deal. They were never controlling things. And when I watch Indy and they're at their best, they're just moving at will. They're just carving up a defense. And even when they were getting stuff, like you said, someone was there. I could only think of a few really bad missed tackles. They're a really good tackling team. That's another thing, too, because that was something you noticed the other way. When the Bills were on offense, Indy couldn't tackle anyone. I mean, you were seeing broken tackles, guys grabbing air, alligator arming passes going through, and it was just completely night and day difference. And that's why I agree with you when you said it was a statement win, because the defense was as good as advertised, and then the offense was better than advertised.
And that's the defense without Marcell Dareus in it. I mean, so...
Exactly.
Holy cow.
Arguably their best player.
Yeah, I completely think he is the best player on defense for that team. That's why they gave him $100 million. He's the center point. He's the linchpin there. But I just want to touch on one point that you had there. Now, as far as the Indianapolis' ineptness on both sides of the ball, and Buffalo's ability to pretty much control the entire game, does that have more to say about the Colts not being as good as everybody thought that they were? Or does that have more to say about the Bills kind of opening the eyes around the country and around the league? I mean, what are your thoughts there?
Well, as far as the Colts, the only thing, and I will say this is the only thing that concerned me a little bit, was I really felt like they are not a good team at stopping the run. I mean, they're not a great defensive line. Their secondary, I mean, Vontae Davis, he's a good player. But in general, they're not a very deep team. Now, this was supposed to be better than last year's Colts offense. I mean, they went out and got Gore. They went out and got Andre Johnson. They're supposed to be more weapons for Luck. But, I mean, Gore, I think he was under 30 yards for the game. I didn't notice anything from Johnson. And one of the things that really worries me, and it always worries me on any team that worries me this week, is traditionally the Bills can't handle a tight end. And Fleener was nothing yesterday. I mean, he's a good enough player that it worries me a little bit that good tight end that just seems to give the Bills nightmares, or traditionally has been in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But right, though. Their offense is going to be as good as advertised. I have no doubt in my mind that's still going to be one of the top offenses in the league. But their defense, okay, they went 6-0 in their division and then 5-5 everywhere else.
Well,
what does that tell
you?
They play in the South.
Yeah, exactly. They played the Titans and the Jaguars twice.
Yeah.
exactly. And as far as, you know, the Colts go, was it more of a case? Because this is kind of how I feel. I agree with you. I think that they're still one of the top offenses in the AFC. I think they just ran into a brick wall. The Bills defense just manhandled them. I mean, that is got to make it even more exciting if you're a Bills fan like we are. How good are they going to be this? I mean, they just shut down Andrew Luck and the Colts, who were supposed to be, you know, one of the best offenses in the league. And then here we go. The Bills defense are going to be going up, you know, against Tom Brady next week. What are they going to be able to do against him? You know, it can get exciting.
I mean, when I watched on Thursday night, the Patriots didn't impress me.
Me neither.
I mean, there's been games. I mean, now, honestly, early in the year, if you can jump on them usually traditionally. But the thing about that was, I don't think the Patriots have much of a defensive line. I don't think they have much of a secondary. I mean, they lost more by losing Revis than I think the Jets got by signing him.
Mm-hmm.
So it hurts. It was something that I think it was Marv Levy used to say, is a team that loses more when they lose a free agency than the team that signs them games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more of a hurt to them by subtraction than it really was a gain for the Jets. So if you look at it, Pittsburgh put up some yards on them. Pittsburgh also is, I think, a depleted defense, and they really didn't put that much up on them. I mean, they left Gronk uncovered a couple times, and that was pretty much the only way they scored.
Yeah.
So is it a team that looks like a Super Bowl champion? Not really.
Well, they're also, you know, missing, I think they're missing greatly, is Vince Wilfork, one of the best tackles the last 10 years in the entire league. That's a huge gaping hole in the middle of their defensive line. And you could definitely see D'Angelo Williams was able to kind of really hit a lot of big holes there on Thursday night. And he was able to get some yards on the Patriots defense. And Roethlisberger, too, threw all over them. What was it, 351 yards he had against the Patriots defense? That, and look, I completely agree with you, Rob, that Patriots secondary can be exploited. And with the Bills' weapons they have on offense, I mean, that can get really interesting real fast, especially with this crowd. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and they need the next two games. If they can get past those next two games, they have a good shot of running the table to the bye if they get past the next two games. Mm-hmm. They have a really good look at going 6-2, 7-1 going against the bye. I mean, with me thinking the only two games that should give them serious trouble being home against New England and then at Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine they win these two games, then you have the Giants, Titans in there, you have the Jaguars. I mean, it becomes a much easier schedule for a while. If you don't face another quarterback like Luck or Brady, Tannehill, I'm still not sold on Tannehill, especially Tannehill against the Bills. The Bills have owned him.
And he did not look that great against the Redskins yesterday either. He did not look good against Washington.
No,
not at all.
No, he didn't.
And let's, you know, I'm going to go with my points here. I got a couple other things before I let you go, Rob. A couple of real quick bullet points. We already kind of went over it, but, I mean, as far as the Bills, I mean, do you think they're for real? I mean, do you think that they have what it takes to contend in the AFC this year? Not just the division, in the entire conference. I mean, and I was saying earlier, everybody's like, whoa, you know, slow your roll, money, slow down, you know, take it easy. You know, we got to get the division first. I'm like, we have been inept for over 15 years. I'm like, why can't we have lofty expectations? I mean, our coach exudes bravado. He exudes confidence, cockiness. Why can't we have it now? I mean, are they like set to contend in the conference this year?
I see no reason why that defense doesn't give them a chance to win every game. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win them all, but you're going to get a look at every game with that. Mm-hmm. I don't foresee them losing many games if they put up 24, 27 points.
Yeah, exactly. And let's not forget, I mean, the Bills also, the last few years, even when they've been bad, talking about that Miami game week 3, they have fared pretty well down there in Miami. you know, against Tannehill, first and foremost. Like you said, the defense has kind of owned Tannehill. They really have not struggled against that Miami team with Tannehill at the helm, if you think about it.
You're correct.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's just go – let's move on to next week, Rob, against the Patriots. I know we've kind of, you know, gone over the entire Colts game here, but, you know, let's go on with the Patriots here. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's a secondary there in New England that's ripe for the picking. But let's get something straight. It's still Tom Brady. It's still Rob Gronkowski. It's still Bill Belichick. I mean, in your opinion, I mean, as far as this game, how do you see this playing out? Man, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but, you know, that's kind of what radio is about.
No, you make a good point. As far as the game goes, I like facing them now rather than after there's more film on the Bills.
Mm.
I mean, there's still somewhat of a mystery because, well, put it this way, Watkins didn't have a single catch yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that was that dominant a play when your number one receiver does nothing.
Exactly.
So the biggest fear I have, and it's always the fear with the Bills, is covering the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can cover the tight end or at least limit Gronkowski, boy, I just thought of like Chandler came back and had a big game. But if you can hold Gronkowski enough to limit his damage and you can put up 24, 27, 28 points again, then I see no reason why this couldn't go the Bills' way. I mean, I have a hard time, as much as I dislike New England, they've made it hard to pick against them.
I agree.
But
it's a matchup
they can get. I can give you reason upon reason why the Bills could win this one, especially in Buffalo, especially if that crowd is 90% of what it was yesterday.
Well, I think it'll be even more. I mean,
with
Brady coming in, it's gonna be even louder. That place, I mean, bricks concrete might fall off the walls. I'm serious. It's gonna be insane from what it was yesterday. And I completely agree. And the thing is, with Gronkowski, Rob, I'm like, who the hell is gonna cover this guy? I mean, you can't put a corner on him. Because he's bigger, stronger, taller than a corner. You can't put a linebacker on him because he's faster and more athletic. And it's a catch-22. I mean, you kind of just have to limit him. You can't stop him. You have to just try and contain him, slow him down. You're not going to be able to stop him.
Chip him at the line. I think Bradham may have the speed to cover him, but I don't know if he'll be able to. That's a linebacker I would believe has a shot at it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that I think you're going to have to get some help. I think you have someone ship him at the line so he doesn't get off the line clean. Limit the amount of space he has and go from there. But it's going to be a matchup that should be fun. I think the days of New England winning by 40 points are over.
Oh, I absolutely, especially with the defense the Bills have. I don't see the Patriots getting over 30 in this game. I really don't. I don't see how they can. With the different personnel package that Rex Ryan's going to throw at them, the different schemes, different looks, you know, and the amount of depth, and that's the one thing that I touched on earlier today. We can talk about that for a minute or two. The depth that this team has, all those players that went out yesterday, you know, periodically throughout the game on defense, you had some other guy step in, next man up, comes in, and just there's no drop off whatsoever. And that really attributes, and that really speaks to the point what Rex Ryan was talking about, building depth, building players, developing guys who all can, you know, you can switch them out, mix and match, you can play multiple roles, multiple positions, and that's all attributed to Rex Ryan and Thurman and that whole you know, the front office and the coaching staff. I mean, holy cow, the depth on that team.
Yeah, the minds they have. On working on both sides of the ball, it makes it quite exciting to see what happens. That's a game like you were saying, that was a statement win. Not only that, it's important win because they are going to end up needing the conference wins. If they're not able to dethrone New England, they're going to need the conference wins. And that was a big conference game to win because that was a game, even at home, I know it almost went to a pick 'em, but Indianapolis was still the favorite going into that game.
Well, that was all because it's Indianapolis against Buffalo. That's pretty much all it was.
I
think a lot of people are underselling the Buffalo Bills right now, and I think not just analysts but teams too, and they better not, because like Rex Ryan says, he's like, AFC better get ready. He said they better get ready because we don't expect to lose a lot of games. And how can you hate that? Like, I got my cousin Mark. He's been on here a few times. He absolutely despises Rex Ryan. I mean, his hashtags after his Bills posts are hashtag fire Rex. That's what he puts on there. Because he's the kind of guy that likes to stir up controversy, but he just absolutely hates Rex Ryan. Like, how could you? How much he's embraced this area, his confidence. He's like breathed new air and new life into this community. I just don't get it. I'm calling him out now. I hope he's listening. He probably is. I hope he calls in so I can give him some crap. But, I mean, come on. He's only doing that just to be a crab ass. That's what I think. So let's go to the real quick, Rob, before I let you go. I'm going to put you on the spot one more time and see if what you think as far as the score for Sunday. So what do you got for me?
I said I had a hard time picking against it, but I'm still on a buzz from yesterday's game. I'm going to look at a 21-17. The Bills are going to pull that off, maybe having the score late in the game, like maybe having a last-minute drive, maybe hitting McCoy on a screen pass or something to bust it in at the end of the game to win it. But I think like a 21-17, that's the kind of game they're going to need to win against New England. I think if you get too many more points than that, then you're getting into a shootout, and I don't want to get into a shootout with Brady.
I agree, and I completely agree with you. I think you got to keep them under 20. That's a tall test as far as, you know, going up against the Patriots. I mean, they only did have 28 on Sunday night, but on Thursday night. But you know, you got to keep them under 20, and if that offense can, you know, score some points, which I think they can against the Patriots defense, I think we're gonna have another exciting game. I really do.
I agree.
Now coming up, you're gonna be our NHL guy this year, Sabres guy. Do you have anything to, you know, any updates as far as your weekly Sabres show that you can share with the fans before the hockey season starts?
Right now, I was just trying to watch and see any updates from the prospect game, but that was about all I have right now with hockey. No, I don't have anything more other than I'm finally glad for a chance that we can talk about hockey, how good they're doing or trying, and not looking at how much we can race to the bottom. And I think that's going to be the fun part for this year. We're all going to enjoy talking about hockey again.
Definitely. And I did like the pick of Jack Eichel at the Bills game that he tweeted out too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they very slowly need to leech the venom of being a Patriots fan out of him. So give him some time here. He'll probably work it out of his system.
That's fine. All right, Rob. We'll be looking forward to talking to you again, you know, coming up next week after the Bills game. And in about a month here, Sabres hockey is going to start, so that'll be exciting. You'll have your show coming up. You're going to have just off the top of your head, probably maybe, you know, a preseason kind of show, you know, like a – I can't think, but you know
looking
what I mean.
Looking into it right now, I would look at it for to be after the first couple preseason games when we start getting an idea of who may be sticking around, and look at it maybe about the second week of preseason.
All right, cool. So we'll have a little preview before the season starts, and we'll have some hockey coming up. Got the Bills playing well, so it's going to be an exciting time here in Buffalo. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it is. For the first time in a long time.
You got that right. All right, Rob. Hey, thanks for coming out, man. We'll talk to you again.
All right, take care, man.
Yeah, take it easy. That was our resident analyst, multifaceted sports analyst, Slapshot Rob, talking about the Bills. Mickey, he brought up a lot of great points there. A lot of great points, not only about the Bills crowd, but about the Bills themselves and how good that defense actually played yesterday. So, whew, Rob's going to be checking out the All-22 film from the Bills game. He just tweeted to me that it actually was just put out, Coach's film, All-22, so that's great. That's going to be coming up too, so he'll give us a little insight on that with the Godfather show later in the week. And, hey, Bills fans, 27-14 over the Colts. Exciting win. Exciting times for the Bills. And I'm not going to leave you hanging here because, you know, I teased this earlier in the show. I'm going to give you my prediction because I'm brash. I'm confident. All right? I think the Bills win this game Sunday. And I think they win it big. I really do. I think they're going to smack the Patriots in the mouth. I think they're going to hold the Patriots under 20 points. It's going to be the Bills 35, the Patriots 17. And let me tell you why. I think they're going to get to Tom Brady. I think Rex Ryan is going to be able to come up with a scheme with defensive coordinator Dennis Thurman that's going to keep Brady and the Patriots on their heels, going to keep them guessing, and that crowd is going to play a major, major factor in the game on Sunday. It's going to play a huge factor in the game on Sunday. So that'll give you something right there as far as the Bills and the Patriots. Bills 35, Patriots 17. You heard it here first. It's going to be a big win. Tyrod, I'd say about 250, 260 yards passing, going to throw a couple of scores. Sammy Watkins is going to get in the action this time around. I think LeSean McCoy is going to have a big game. I think Carlos Williams is going to contribute in a big way. I think you're going to have multiple sacks on that defensive line. They're going to get to Tom Brady, who is slow, who doesn't move all that well. He does shift well side to side, but defense is fast. Patriots offensive line is vulnerable, especially against one of the top defensive lines in the league in the Bills. The Bills are going to have a big day. 35-17 Bills. Do I think they're for real? Yes. Why do I think so? I think it's different from any other years that they won the opening game. Okay? They beat the Bears last year. Didn't feel the same. Like I said earlier tonight, I was not that nervous about this game against the Colts. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I really am. I really was just comfortable watching the game for most part. For the most part. Yeah, I cheered and got excited when they got touchdowns. Sure, who doesn't? But when they're on defense, I was just sitting there. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right. Because I know this defense is great, and I know this defense is going to carry this team. But the offense is very underrated, and the NFL and the rest of the country and the rest of the league is going to find this out about Tyrod Taylor, about Carlos Williams, about all the weapons that we have here on offense. Let's not forget about Charles Clay. He's going to play a big part in this team this year. And I could go so far as to say he's going to be one of the leaders in receptions for the Bills this year, Charles Clay. He's going to be a big part. That's why they went out and got him. That's why they paid him the big money. And with Darius coming back, coming to play the Patriots this Sunday coming up, it's going to be a big-time brawl. And they're going to smack the Patriots in the mouth, and they're going to keep hitting them. They're going to keep hitting them until they beg for mercy. Do I think they have what it takes to contend in the AFC? Absolutely. Why wouldn't I? We're Bills fans. We're eternal optimists. We haven't been to the playoffs in over 15 years. Let's go, Bills. Let's go. Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Western New York. Let's go, Bills fans all over the country. Let's get excited for this team. Let's do it. Why can't it be our time? It's one Buffalo. It's our time. We are a family, and we are ready to be excited for our sports team, for our football team, which we live and die for. We bleed red, blue, and red. We bleed Bills colors. We hang on every play. And we have. I have for 35 years. I'm ready to have a winner. And all of you should be too. It's enough. I've had enough. I've had enough taking it from the Patriots. I've had enough. I know how all the Bills fans felt when they were watching the Bills in the 70s with the Dolphins. Bills didn't win a single game against the Dolphins in the 70s. That's how we feel here in this era with the Patriots. I've had enough. I've had enough from them. It's time to punch the bully in the face. You know, it's time to become a bully and take the bully's lunch money for once. How about that? Smack them around. See how they like it. take Tom Brady, rub his face in the mud a little bit, see how he likes it. I know I'm getting a little cocky, but it's about time that Buffalo was. Buffalo's on the rise. Buffalo's on the bounce back. I work downtown. I see the construction that's going down on there. I see the revitalization on the waterfront. And this all has to do with our teams, with the life that the Terry and Kim Pegula have just injected back into this area. It's our time now. It's our time. And we should be excited because we have a coach that has embraced this area, that is brash, cocky, has bravado, confidence. He wants to win. He wants to win so much. He brought in kickers in the preseason and before the season start to kick some life into, you know, to kick Dan Carpenter in the ass so that he could start making some field goals. He was the best kicker in Bills history for one season last year. He had almost an 88% field goal, whatever you want to call it, rate. And he said, he's like, I don't need to be liked. He probably hates me. I don't care. I want to make kicks. I don't want to be his friend. I want to see him make field goals. And that's where you got to be as Bills fans. You can't get attached to players. It's our team. You're cheering for the logo on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. That's what you're cheering for. We're cheering for the red, white, and blue. We're cheering for the Bills every Sunday, every week we're doing this. And you know what? For years, for almost decades, this almost 20 years, this country and this NFL culture, this NFL community has laughed and turned their nose up at Buffalo, turned their nose up at the Bills. Well, guess what? It's about time that we give it back to them. It's about time that we say, we are Buffalo. We are here, and we aren't going anywhere. We're here to take your lunch money, New England. You've been taking ours for too many years. It's time that David beat Goliath. It's about time. And it's about time we beat the Patriots big time. It's about time we smack them in the mouth and tell them who's boss. I'm sick and tired of taking it from the Patriots. I'm done. It's about time we take them and punch them in the face. And when they're down and they're begging for us to stop, we're going to keep punching them. Because you know what? The kid that gets bullied, the poor little dorky kid with glasses, that's who the Bills are. That's who the Bills have been for 15 years. They're sick and tired of taking it from the bully. And guess what? Sooner or later, that little kid's going to snap. And he's gonna on Sunday. And he's gonna for the rest of this year. Bills are making the playoffs. Bills are winning this division. I'm telling you right now, you heard it here first. Bills are going deep in the playoffs. Because it's our time. And we deserve it. No doubt. All right, guys. It's been great tonight. It's been excellent. You're going to hear me again next week. Same time, same place, same radio station. I want to thank the CEO and founder of the Buffalo Water Cooler and TW Sports Media, the godfather Trenton White. He will be on later in the week, and he also will be on Sunday night after the Bills game. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Coca-Cola and Paula's Donuts. Oh, good Lord, Paula's Donuts is so good. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Coca-Cola, for your wonderful soda and your wonderful pop, as Buffalonians say it. Once again, guys, Bills 27, Colts 14, Patriots next week. We'll hear about it from the Godfather on Sunday night, and you'll hear from me next Monday, 8 p.m., right here on the Buffalo Water Cooler. Thank you a lot, guys. Stay safe. Go Buffalo, and we'll see you on the flip side.